Hi, my name is Ramon Medina, and I am using the HTC Hero on Sprint. Now get ready for the Android Central podcast. Have a good one.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Android Central podcast. It's episode number 65 for Thursday, July 21st, 2011. We are DRM-free. I am Phil Nickinson. I'm your host for this little endeavor and editor of AndroidCentral.com, and we have a crazy, crazy cast with us tonight. Most everybody you know and one person you don't, at least at the beginning. So let's start out. We've got Mickey Papillon. You know him as the Cell Phone Junkie.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
And we've got Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Howdy, howdy.
Corey Streeter from the Android Central forums.
Hello there.
Alex Dobie's calling in from England yet again.
Hey, guys.
And hanging out in sunny California, we have a special guest, Joe Braidwood, who works for TouchType. You know them as the makers of SwiftKey. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. Hello, everyone.
So thanks for joining us. You were kind of a last-minute thing here, and I'm glad you pinged me, because you guys actually have some news coming out. You want to talk about it and talk about what's been going on for the past couple days?
Yes. It's been pretty crazy. I mean, obviously, we launched SwiftKey X and SwiftKey Tablet X last Thursday. And that's been really crazy. And today has been an awesome day because we just hit number one with the phone app on Android Market and also number one on Amazon App Store, where we've got the free app of the day promotion today. And we're looking at about 250,000 downloads so far, so it's going pretty well. It's been pretty crazy. And people seem to like the app. I mean, we've got a few bugs here and there that we're working really hard to fix. But generally speaking, I think people are really, really pleased with it. The breaking news exclusive that I am now talking about on record for the first time is that we're also just revealing that I don't know if you guys have covered or written about the Vizio tablet device.
That was one that was announced kind of halfway back at CES in January.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it started to ship late yesterday, and it suddenly hit stores this morning. Now, that Vizio tablet device, we are the default keyboard on with SwiftKey Tablet X. So that's something that we're really, really proud of, because it's going to get us out to a really wide audience with that awesome tablet keyboard, and it's a first for us. So if any of you guys want to get a free copy of SwiftKey Tablet X, the easiest way is to go buy a Vizio tablet. I think they're $249 in Walmart, maybe $320. I've seen them in Costco. I'm not quite sure what the price point is, but it's a lovely kind of 8 or 9 inch device, and it's got a great keyboard made by us. So,
now you've been using Honeycomb tablets from the beginning. I mean, you and I met up back at in February, I guess, at the Honeycomb event out at Google's campus. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the way that the tablets have evolved, and that Honeycomb has evolved just even over the past 6 months?
I tell you, I absolutely can't get enough of the Galaxy Tab 10.1. I mean, the device that many people got who went to Google I/O. I think that if you look at the Zoom as kind of the first concept device, it was a little heavy and it didn't quite work as well as it should have done straight off. But I've been playing with the Galaxy 10.1 a lot recently, and I love it. You know, it's so light and it's so bright with the AMOLED screen, and it's got haptic feedback and all sorts of other things. And I just think that generally the Honeycomb user experience is really getting cleaned up. You know, you're seeing lots of new content on the Android market as well. And the whole proposition is moving closer and closer to Apple and iPad, which is obviously what we want, right? Because we want to directly compete with those guys. I think Honeycomb's awesome.
What about you guys, Jerry, Corey? Anybody have any questions on SwiftKey? You've got them here. Anything you hate about it that you just want to yell at Joe for?
I've got a question.
Yes.
When will we be having the ability to make user themes? That's what
right.
I'm hearing a lot.
Yeah. So I guess we're totally, totally keen to let people do that kind of stuff. It's just one of the things is that when you rewrite the Android input method editor framework for your own app, it's kind of there are lots of challenges there. And we thought we did a bunch of work on theming way back in January when we started the SwiftKey X project. And we thought that we'd be able to offer a framework by now, but actually it's a little bit more complicated for a number of reasons. That said, we haven't abandoned that as an idea. What we've done is with this new version of the app, we've got three themes now for the phone and for the tablet. And we're now looking at creating a way in which those themes can be downloaded separate to the APK, and that will make the APK size smaller. It'll also mean that then we have a framework for other themes to be created. And there are, you know, already there are some clever people out there who have sort of decompiled the APK and figured out how to tweak it and stuff. But yeah, we certainly want to give folks the option to make it look and function in a way that's personal to them. And that's kind of core across our whole app. So, Jerry, I haven't got an exact time frame for you just yet. I'd love to. But let's put it this way. I think I'd be really surprised if we couldn't deliver that by the end of the year.
Okay, great. Yeah. Now, I want something to be able to tell people because they ask me, questions, I guess, because I write for Android Central. Honestly, the dark theme that's included is just perfect for me, but, I understand people want to make it their own.
I switched to the light theme, actually. I started with dark and went to the light theme. Hey, Joe, can you explain for people who haven't used SwiftKey yet and SwiftKey X, can you talk briefly about the Fluency engine and just the prediction and really what makes SwiftKey as good as it is?
Yeah, sure. So I guess the kind of reason a lot of people look at some of the keyboard apps out on Android and they're kind of absolutely loaded full of different customization features, and they look at ours and they say, why haven't you guys done, what Smart Keyboard Pro does and allowed, you to change the key height of the bottom row of keys and that kind of thing? And the reason is that we've been spending pretty much as much of our time as possible working on this technology that we call Fluency. And what that is it's what makes SwiftKey so different to a lot of the other apps out there. It's the thing that the technology that's based on natural language processing and machine learning, two very difficult areas of AI, that tries to model the way that you type and the way that you use English or French or whatever language you speak in a way that's personal to you. And then through understanding how you use those languages, it's able to predict your next word and make very, very accurate contextual changes to the current word you're typing if you type it sloppily. And I guess it's that kind of language intelligence or language inference that sits behind SwiftKey that really steps it apart from some of the other products out there.
You and I have talked before. You can actually give it access to your Twitter, Facebook, and Gmail accounts. Mm-hmm. And what does it learn from them? And is that anything I need to be worried about? Are you spying on me?
Oh, no. None of us are spying on us, on anyone. I guess the thing for us is obviously privacy to the user is super important and something that we hold very, very at the core of what we're doing. What you can do with Facebook, Twitter, and Gmail is you can give SwiftKey access to those chunks of your personal data and message data, and it will figure out how you write on those particular networks and then create a language module that it bakes and pushes down to your phone. And that means, for example, if you're a frequent Twitter user, you can press a hash and you'll see all the hashtags you've used recently, or you can use phrases that you might use in your email and they'll come up as predicted phrases and SwiftKey's predictions. And that is a really, really awesome feature because it means that when you install the app, you don't have to spend a week or so training it with how you type. Just give it access to those services and straight off the bat, it knows your phrases and your kind of ways of speaking. So that's what's brand new with this app, one of the core new features, and that's I think why so many people are kind of excited about it at the moment.
Very, very cool. Well, thank you for hanging out with us for a few minutes. Anybody else, any more questions before we let Joe go?
I'd like to ask one. So who would you consider your biggest competing, there's so many keyboards out there now. I'm downloading like one every few days, just to try different ones. I bought SwiftKey. I like SwiftKey. I think it looks great. It's come a long ways in just, 6 months, really. Mm-hmm. It looks really good. Works really well. But I'm curious who you think your biggest competitor is.
Well, I think Chewy 1177 has hit the nail on the head. For us, it's always been, people talking about Swipe versus SwiftKey, and that for many smartphone users is the kind of the choice of the alternative keyboards. It's about, are you a swipist or are you a SwiftKey typer? So I guess that's the kind of most obvious answer. There are slightly more there are other answers that we could give if we're thinking about the core technology. I mean, Nuance's T9 and XT9 and Flex T9, they're out there. They've got a lot of deals with OEMs and they stand kind of in that space as well as Swipe when we're talking to phone makers and trying to convince them that SwiftKey is the technology they should use. But on the market, I think that, there are obviously competition with, you know, some of the kind of more customizable keyboards and stuff. But for us, it's all about, you know, trying to position ourselves as a really strong alternative to Swipe and to XT9.
Cool. Well, we will throw a link in the show notes if you guys haven't seen the SwiftKey post from last week announcing SwiftKey X out of beta, and have a market link as well, so you can go download it if you want. Joe, thank you very much for joining us. We'll let you get back to your beautiful California evening.
Thanks, guys. Have a good evening.
All right, man. Thank you.
Cheers. Bye.
So, that's it. Should we take the rest of the night off now?
Yeah, that's pretty cool that it's going to be on that Vizio tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting. Makes it, you know, gives it something of its own. You know, little Froyo tablet might just get overlooked if it doesn't have something to stand out.
Yeah, and remember, that was always kind of the big thing about Swipe, right? Is Swipe went for the OEM model, whereas they would get pre-loaded mm-hmm. onto phones, and I guess, are they, I can't think of any tablets they're pre-loaded on. They might be. The early Galaxy Tabs, maybe? Or the Flyer? I don't remember. But yeah.
There's actually another tablet version now, don't they, of Swipe?
Mm. So that's SwiftKey. Thank you, Joe, for joining us. Should we just hop into everything else now? Yes?
Let's do it.
Well, yeah. This is your train, Phil. You're driving.
So Netflix this week. I want to talk about Netflix. It's getting a little weird. So they released access to 15 more phones. Now, I'm not going to go down the list. We'll have a link in the show notes if you want to see if your phone's on there. But the really interesting thing to me, we found out, I think Droid Life was the first one to post it, was you could basically just take the APK as is, pull it off your phone, and it works fine on at least the Galaxy Tab and the Zoom, I think. Now, I think I've seen people had to tweak things a little bit and pull some framework for a couple of the other tablets, but damn, it looks nice on the Galaxy Tab.
It does. I burned up some battery last night with it.
It's not horrible on the battery, though, is it?
No. Actually, I say I burned up some battery, but I sat and watched two movies.
Yeah, like Mia.
And, you know, still have half the battery left. Yeah.
Yeah, Mia watched cartoons all afternoon for like 2 hours yesterday, and I'm surprised I had battery left. So, Corey, Mickey, have you guys gotten a chance to mess with it at all?
I have not. I've been using my television and my laptop. Sorry. No, I think it's really cool, though. I mean, this is an app that has been out for the iPad and, you know, for a long time now. So I think it's great that they're finally releasing this and making it available, because it is a great app. I have used it before. You know, if you're paying the money to subscribe to their service every month, this is a really nice option. So I was just joking. I haven't tried it yet, but it's pretty cool.
I still have, like, no desire to watch any sort of movie on my phone, though.
No.
Well, you know, it's a little small for my eyes. I'm not a spring chicken anymore. But I can see maybe TV episodes on my phone. I did a lot of sitting in waiting rooms this afternoon. And, you know, it would have been nice had I been there alone. You know, I don't want to ignore my wife sitting there. If it was just me, I could have popped up and watched, you know, a TV episode or something for a half an hour. I can see use for that.
The other thing, too, is, of course, you can just listen to stuff, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you don't have to, if it's just something where you're looking for some background noise or something like that. Of course, there's a number of old standby movies that I'm sure we all have. I could watch Back to the Future every day for the rest of my life and, you know, still be okay with it, or at least listen to it, right? But what were you going to ask me, Phil, about it?
No, that was what I was going to ask you, is really how many times have you watched Back to the Future?
Right. It's amazing how we're just on that, you know, same question. I like Netflix a lot. I think they are a great company. I know the latest change in the pricing structure has got some people shaken up, and I understand that. And, you know, it's not something that is going to be taken lightly for those that are seeing their, you know, amount that they're paying every month double. I get it. But what I think where this really is going to get them some more attention is that you can now get this $8 option streaming only. You don't need the physical DVDs. And I know the selection isn't as good. Trust me, I know that. But I still think it's okay. And I think it's still a reasonable value. It was a steal before, right? And now it's more, you know, in line with what you'd expect to pay for probably the amount that you're using. So, but I like the mobile versions, you know, whether it's on the tablet or the phone side. I think it's pretty neat.
I had a little rant today. I kind of compared the Android rollout of Netflix to kindergarten. And that it's not so bad now that we have it on 24 phones, right? But it was like, if you don't have enough to share with the class, just don't bring any. I mean, it was so frustrating to see Netflix on 3 phones and then 5 phones and then 8 phones. And now we have it on 24, which is great, but it's still not on tablets. So the only tablet it's officially on is that Lenovo IdeaPad tablet K1, which in the scheme of things is yet another horribly named device. But it's got, you know, it supposedly has hardware DRM in it that will let you stream in 1080p to a TV through the HDMI cable, or actually save the movie locally. Now, that's really cool and something I'd like to see, but that's also something that Google Movies is supposed to do, if and when that ever finally rolls out to all the tablets. Like, here's this perfect platform, and we have a lot of really good tablets out there now, right? I mean, we've got, what, probably half a dozen that are worth buying, and no real Netflix except for on one of them. Google Movies is on the Zoom, but that's it.
Well, and that is probably not because Netflix doesn't want to give it to you. It probably has to do with all the different hardware platforms and the manufacturers they have to work with, right?
Well, in the studios, right? I think they have to guarantee somehow that we're not going to be stealing movies left and right. And I understand that piracy is out there, and piracy is bad. And yes, I've downloaded movies in my time. I've stopped doing that for a number of reasons. And I understand that, you know, the DRM that's there makes people want to pirate movies more, and the fact that we can't get legitimate...
I got one of those letters too, Phil.
Yeah. And the fact that we have to deal with this DRM crap makes you want to pirate things more, and we can't get just legitimate digital copies easily a lot of the times. And iTunes has done a hell of a job, you know, getting those deals set up, and that's something everybody else is lacking. But geez, just... Android is so close. These tablets are so close. If they'd gotten this done right from the get-go, you know, just it could have been a really, really good PR coup, I think.
Well, I can't swallow that they're more afraid that I'm going to steal a movie using my Evo or my Nexus than I am with my computer.
Right.
That just kills me because it makes zero sense.
Especially Alex over there with his Edge and occasional 3G speeds in England.
Yeah, I
don't know. Kind of jealous of you guys. Just the fact you got Netflix over there. They've been talking and talking since about 2004, but no such luck for us over here.
Yeah, we just got Spotify.
Yeah, true.
So that's my little Netflix thing. Anybody else have anything to say on that?
Well, Netflix isn't going to be our only option either, right? Google's gotten into the game. And
Blockbuster's been around for a long time, too, not to leave them out.
Yeah.
But,
right, and Blockbuster worked on all phones.
The question is will they continue to be around?
That is a good question. I don't know. They finally ripped down the old Blockbuster store here, and I still remember when it went up. It was like a huge day back in the 80s, and seeing like all the being like 13-year-old and seeing all the R-rated movie boxes there. Just
I know. And what was R back then was. Definitely, it's like PG minus today.
It's funny seeing all those movies now as an adult, because it's just like, yeah, that was kind of lame, actually.
Yeah.
Especially now, being 2011, but I know it's not Back to the Future.
They were good then, though.
Yeah, they were.
The Breakfast Club. Okay, well, I'll get off that.
All right. Let's move on. So we've got a bunch of new device news, sort of, I want to just kind of go through. So Samsung Mobile's J.K. Shin said that we can expect the Galaxy S2 in the United States in August, and that's all he said. Nothing else to it. You think that's going to happen at all? I'm waiting for the carriers to say something before I believe anything. I mean, you would think the head of Samsung Mobile would know, but you know how these things go. It ain't official till it's official.
All right, I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Yes.
Middle of August, AT&T is going to sell a Galaxy S2. It's already FCC approved. It's already in, heck, you can go to Ontario and buy one. It would not be hard to do.
Well, aren't we following the same schedule we followed with the Fascinate and all the other phones in the...
No.
In the Galaxy series?
No, I went and looked that up, actually. The Vibrant was out by now, and I think the Fascinate might have been as well. Because I thought
that was like really?
Yeah. Maybe not the Fascinate, but I know the Vibrant was because I went and looked it up. Huh. Yeah, the Captivate was first, I think.
Wants it.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide if that's what I'm waiting for or if I'm going to wait and get the next Nexus phone, which we'll need to have one anyway just for work, right? But like, what do I actually want to use? I'm actually used to using the Thunderbolt now.
Hey, by the way, thanks for that poll you posted today. Thanks for that little dig on us Verizon customers.
So it was announced today that AT&T is getting the Nexus S. So, I mean, yeah, the previous one that was put out would work on AT&T, but you couldn't get 3G, right? You could only get T-Mo 3G. So you can, starting today, the pre-orders, and on the 24th, you can go buy it at Best Buy and Best Buy Mobile, $99, $529 outright. So we did a poll. So, and let's go around the room here and see what you guys think. At this point in the year, on July 20th, 2011, would you buy a Nexus phone at this point? You know, so we know we're going to get another one at some point, right? The last one was announced, what, in late November, December sometime? I forget the exact date. I've heard maybe as early as October, which really just feels early. Just not sure how good information that is. But, you know, we're more than halfway through the year. Would you guys buy a Nexus S right now? Jerry?
I don't make any bones about it. That's my favorite Android phone. But would I buy one right now?
Right.
No. I would wait. I would save my $500 and I would wait and see what Google announces this winter. If they don't announce something that to me is as good or better, then yeah, I'd buy one. It's still going to work next year just as good as it works this year.
Mickey?
Seeing what is out there right now and knowing how, or at least hoping, that this next version is going to, I think, be more of a leap than the Nexus 1 to the S was. I'm having a real hard time because I'm actually in the position where I really want to buy one. I've got the money set aside. I'm ready to do it. In fact, when the announcement came out today, I thought, well, maybe that's the way to go, is just get the AT&T one. Then I thought, you know, well, number one, I can get it for cheaper through other sites. And it's not locked. Cause that was the other thing, is the AT&T one through Best Buy, even if you buy it contract free, it's going to be locked to AT&T. No? Or is it going to be unlocked? How does Best Buy do that?
The T-Mobile one was unlocked.
The T-Mobile one was, sure. But, that was also the original one that, you know, it was, you know, that you wanted to be able to use it internationally and pretty much anywhere. But is it this AT&T one going to be or not? I don't know.
I would assume it's unlocked, right?
I would hope so. Was the Nexus 1 on AT&T unlocked?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, because that you bought it specific. You didn't buy it from AT&T. Right. Now, I guess this one isn't from AT&T, right?
Yeah.
But it's being marketed by AT&T, and that's, I don't know. You can buy it, and you get it subsidized by AT&T on a contract. You could never get the Nexus 1 with AT&T 3G band subsidized from them. So that's why I have a feeling, if this was being sold at AT&T stores, then absolutely it would be locked. But I don't know about Best Buy. It's interesting. And again, you can get it cheaper, you know, other places now. You don't have to spend $529. You can get it for, I think, $469 is the latest price that I saw for it. Okay, so that's my 2-minute answer of saying, it is killing me, guys. It is absolutely killing me because I want it. I really want it. But I know, you know, next Nexus, right around the corner, dual core, almost for sure.
Yes or no?
No, I'm not going to do it. No.
Corey, well, you're screwed.
Yeah. It's a pipe dream that I'd ever have that option. But even if it was, it's too late. There needs to be a little bit more coordinated. And this is a pipe dream too, but it just seems like, you know, Sprint gets something 2 months ago and then you're on another carrier, you got to wait another by the time Verizon ever gets it, if they were, it would be too late for me. And I think the next Nexus has to launch with some sort of, like, it has to coincide with some like interesting operating system at the same time. So you have a whole bunch of cool things coming together at once.
Well, I'm sure it will. So, right. I mean, if it's not ice cream sandwich, then why are they doing it?
Right.
I mean, it's absolutely going to be, right? The last one was gingerbread. which wasn't a huge step up, whatever. But nah, the next Nexus, I'm 100% comfortable saying, will be ICS. Jerry, do you disagree?
And if yeah, no. If it's not, we're hopping on a plane and we're going to go make fools of ourselves.
For you guys.
Right.
Anything Alex? I get, you know, the chances of me getting anything without Bing and BCAS is pretty thin.
absolutely not. No. If you're after a Nexus, just wait 3 months or however long it is. If you're not after a Nexus, just get one of the, you know, many, many really nice dual core phones that are out there. There's no reason to, you know, spend an equivalent amount of money on a Nexus S when you could get a Galaxy S2, a Sensation, any number of really nice phones that aren't going to be, you know, obsolete in a couple of months.
Poor Nexus S.
Now, on the other hand, I know somebody just last week that was talking to me in email. They just bought a Nexus One new from Google.
Dude, I would totally buy
because they like it. Yeah, because they like it. I might be that way with the Nexus S. When mine breaks, and it will, I don't take good care of anything. When it breaks, if I miss it enough, I'll buy another one.
You are the first to get all the goodies, right? Whenever something new comes out.
Well, in theory.
The things I like, yeah, I try to get them.
No, he's talking about just the Nexus line, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I like. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, how long did it take for the Nexus One to get gingerbread?
Yeah.
It was like a month or two.
3 months-ish.
Was it that long?
Yeah.
It was a couple months.
So here's my question. If ICS comes out, do I open a T-Mobile account? I think I'd have to. Like,
no.
If they don't do... Yeah. If they don't do...
Yes, you open a T-Mobile account just in case next year you can grandfather that price back on AT&T.
True.
You travel too much for... Well, just because you open a T-Mobile account doesn't mean you're going to close any of the others, I guess.
No.
What does that mean? Travel too much. You think T-Mobile's got bad coverage around the country?
No. Yes. Not at all. Really?
No. It's not like it used to be. When was the last time you used T-Mobile?
Let's see.
Well, you're a bad one to ask.
it was a Touch Pro 2, so I guess it was a long time ago.
Oh, okay, well, there you go.
I remember walking around in Las Vegas, and it would only get Edge or whatever it was. Was it GPRS? It's so frustrating.
Oh, dude,
but maybe it's improved.
No, that's like 500 years ago. Speaking of T-Mobile, they're getting the Wildfire S on August 3rd. If you haven't seen it, Alex has done a nice little mini review of the Wildfire S. What do you think, Alex?
It's nice. It's kind of reminds me of a tiny, tiny version of the Desire S. Mm-hmm. And what really surprised me was that it's not horrible, given how basic and how rough around the edges the first Wildfire was. The screen looks good. Performance is decent. It's not spectacular. It's not going to blow you away with performance, but it does the job. And for the amount of money that you expected to give it, then to give an exchange for it, then it's good. It's it's a decent phone. There's not an awful lot to say about it, really.
Going up to
stop. You were supposed to say it sucks. Don't make me buy one.
I've been teasing Jerry with the Wildfire S and the Char Char as well.
Going up to the 320x480 screen, I think, made a world of difference in that.
Oh, absolutely,
The last one was 320x240 and was just unusable.
It was.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what you were talking about when you were, you know, complaining in your review until I actually used, I think it was the Galaxy Mini that was a QVGA screen. It really is just horrible.
Yeah.
It just takes so much away from the user experience.
Can't do it. Not going to make
no,
it.
No.
Let's see. We talked about Lenovo. The HTC Puccini tablet has gone through the FCC, and it has LTE and AT&T, and what looks like AT&T LTE. Bizarre. Do you guys? I mean, that would be quite the coup, I think. So we know LTE is coming on AT&T sometime later this year on 5 markets, and only 5 markets they've said so far. Do you see them launching with the tablet? Because traditionally, they've got to. USB sticks out. Saw them at the holiday thing I went to last week in New York. But do you think they're actually going to launch with tablets as well?
No. I think all that tells us is that we've got a long wait before the tablet its market. That's AT&T smarter than that. They've got to give those LTE sticks time to see what it does to their network and what they have to do to make it work better.
Look at it like this. Verizon's LTE has been around since last December. And do we yet have an LTE tablet?
No.
No.
Yeah, I think Verizon's LTE is ready for a tablet, though. I just think that the one tablet isn't ready for the LTE upgrade yet.
It wasn't the Pacini supposed to be launching with LTE. That's AT&T, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we saw, and I'm still kind of weird on this, so we saw that the Verizon Galaxy Tab 10.1 is going to launch with a micro SIM. Was it mini SIM, micro SIM? I forget which.
Micro,
SIM. Yeah.
So like the same size as the iPhone 4. Weird.
Yeah.
We're not weird. Does it
size
matter?
Thing, right?
I guess. Maybe.
It's interesting because this may be kind of the switchover that they make is, you know, now we're going to start launching devices where we're using that micro SIM instead of the mini SIM. And the mini SIM is just, it's been around for so long and it doesn't take up that much more room, but you have to understand when you look at both of them side by side, they are really the bigger size doesn't do anything, you know, so why not make it smaller? You know, you can see
it's just extra plastic.
Yeah, you can save the room, so why not? So I think it makes sense that they're doing that, Samsung confirmed it. So I think it's a pretty good thing to see with that. And I personally like the micro SIM. I think it's good. It's going to take a little while to roll out. I mean, there's 2-3 billion people in the world that are now using GSM based devices, and obviously then you've got the new LTE community that uses a SIM as well. So I don't know. Alex, have you not switched over to a micro SIM yet?
The only phones in Europe, I believe, that are using micro SIMs are iPhones.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but here's the thing. If you ever buy an iPhone, you get a micro SIM, and once you're done iPhone...
you're screwed.
Well, no, you're not screwed. You just get the little adapter. I've got a bunch of them here, so I still use the iPhone SIM, but it doesn't always live in my iPhone, so... Works great in other devices. It's fine. So,
well, now I have a question. Since we have the infinite wisdom of the chat room, wasn't the Galaxy Tab 7-inch on AT&T? Didn't it have a micro SIM in it? I thought for sure I heard that it did, and I can't find anybody that had one. There we go. It did. No, it didn't. I heard that it did. I have no idea. Come on, guys.
You read one answer and took it as the truth.
According to Wikipedia, the GSM variants of the Galaxy Tab have an external accessible SIM card slot. If you remove the SIM card while the system is on, the system automatically reboots. The AT&T and T-Mobile variants of the Galaxy Tab ship with a micro SIM and a micro SIM adapter. You're both right.
So it takes a full-size SIM.
That's why we're getting 100 different yes and no's.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. That explains all the different answers. Yep.
I'm just going to use Wikipedia from now on.
Oh.
There we go.
Wikipedia rocks. It's like the best. I can't live without that or Google.
I'm going to quit searching Android Central and just use Wikipedia now. Let's see. Any other apps you guys want to talk about? Did you guys see that Falling Fred app
that we did a
quick post on? So there's this guy, and he's like falling down an elevator shaft, and the object is to keep him in the middle or just from bumping against the walls while avoiding pipes and saws and lasers and other stuff and keep him from... It is so just gory and horrible, and I feel bad for even having downloaded it, let alone playing it, but it's hilarious.
Well, it's not the dogfighting controversy.
Show. Oh.
Is that app still around?
Yeah. I haven't looked lately. I think it is. They changed names.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the object was to make him hit the girders and the buzzsaw blades and watch him get cut into pieces and get extra points.
No.
When it told me I got an achievement half a price for your shoes after one of his feet got cut off. That just made my day. It's my new favorite app.
Sounds like an app someone made up in a dream, doesn't it? It's like, you know, someone's worst fear, like the reoccurring, I'm falling down an elevator shaft. You know, that should be an app. That's all that one came
up. I tell you what, I like it so much, I actually spent 99 cents and bought the little hipster guy with the skinny jeans and white belt just so I could watch him get chewed up as he falls.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I did a roundup of backgammon apps because I finally decided, you know what? I've got this really cool tablet. I want to play backgammon. And, hey, most of them out there suck. I finally found one good one. It's free. It's got ads, but they're not intrusive at all. But I was more surprised that, like, there wasn't one comment on it. I mean, am I playing an old man's game, and that's it?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody played backgammon?
What's it called?
Backgammon.
Oh, man.
I'm kidding. Yes, I've played it. It's a fun game. Those are the kind of games, unfortunately, that I'm into. I mean, I'm not a big gamer on my phone. I like the old stuff. I'd play Hangman, things like that.
Yeah, I got off that. No more Hangman.
Othello. Do they have an Othello yet?
Oh, yeah. There are all sorts of, like, yeah, a million versions of that game out there, too, right?
I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever played backgammon and have no idea how to play it. Really?
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah, and it's really easy. That's why I was kind of surprised. And, like, Mia's watched me. She's like, ooh, is that checkers? I'm like, no, it's a little more. Daddy, roll the die. Fine. I'll roll it.
Does it allow you to play with other people?
I know it does two players locally. I can't remember if the free version will do more than one, like, online. But I think it cheats. I'm pretty sure it cheats. I'm getting beat too much. Yeah, like I don't know what it takes to be a backgammon master, but it's not that tough a game. But this thing gets more doubles, like, at opportune times for itself, that it's just ridiculous. I think it cheats, which only makes me want to play it more.
Or are you just not up to the level of the game?
I can't. No, it keeps getting doubles. And, I mean, that's not my fault. I got nothing to do with that.
I was going to say, maybe you're not smart in it, but that wasn't going to be very nice. So I was trying to come up with something else.
Hey,
to
look
say
at that. Skype just dropped Corey.
Not what to change this, kind of along the same lines. The new market, when I open it up, it is so cool. I love it. There's so many. The graphics are so cool. The searching engine, the games, or the movies, the books. It's awesome.
Is it working for you
When's
guys?
When's everybody going to get it?
Yeah, I had to uninstall it because I had something it just wasn't working on.
Oh, really? No, it's working great on the Fascinate.
I'll have to put it back on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I had somebody email today saying they just got it pushed. I haven't seen, like, mass notifications of it, though. Have you guys?
No. When it first came out, 5 or 6 people reported that it got pushed, and I think that was, like, Google's little soak test.
Yeah.
But, yeah, other than that one email today, I haven't heard anything since.
It's like a complete transition, like, total makeover from what they had. I was having a really bad day like a week ago, and Jerry emailed me and said, here's a treat for you. I installed it, and I was like, oh, my God, this thing is awesome.
All right, so you guys want to talk Droid Bionic for a second?
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun. So late last night, we got a tip to what our tipster says is an early version of the Droid Does Bionic page. Now, open this thing up, and Jerry and I immediately were looking at it like, I don't know, because, I mean, there's tons of stuff on there that just doesn't look right, right? And the more you look at it, the more you find that just doesn't look right, especially if you compare it to what's online now. So here's the deal. It's an early version. Let me preface it with, if it's real, there's a real possibility that we've been duped here. I don't think so. As soon as we started getting, you know, comments that, oh, it's fake, you know, and just the usual trolling that goes on with something like this, the tipster actually emails back, like, upset that people were calling us fake. He's like, you know, I don't, you know, as far as I know, it's real. Like, and I hate that you guys are getting yelled at for being, you know, it being called fake. And had another email when I woke up this morning saying, you know, I don't know. And Jerry and I have been talking about it all day today. Is it real? Is it not real? I don't know. If it's not real, okay, then we've been duped, and we, you know, we're not the first ones to be duped. We won't be the last. It's a pretty interesting fake if it is fake. Like, somebody went to a little trouble to do something badly and pass it off on us. It's kind of a different look at the new version of the device than we've seen before. So I don't know. I honestly don't know. Yeah, I know. Look, the chat room's freaking out. People have proved it's fake. Okay, whatever. It's hilarious. I've seen people spend more time trying to debunk this than I see them put into their own posts. It's a little ridiculous. So if it's fake, we got duped. Sorry. Sucks. Hate it, you know? I don't have any proof that it's not, you know, but we didn't come out and say, hey, look, this is the page. We said it's an early look at the page. If it's not, it's not. But if you haven't seen it, go look in the forums. I posted it in there. I cropped it out of the original just to try to protect people because Verizon gets a little crazy with security now. But the original version that we got before I cropped it out, you have the URL that supposedly is Verizon's internal dev servers where this was being worked on or something. That could be faked as well, right? Might well not be true. I don't know. I mean, Jerry, you got any? I mean, you've been sitting through this all day. Has your and yes, I'm pulling you into this because you and I talked about it last night. Sorry.
Hey, well, it's you know, I know this the whole story behind it, and I know the parts that we can't talk about. I feel good about posting it. If like you said, if it's not true. It's not something that we came out and we tried to pull the wool over everybody's eyes. If, you know, I believe what we were told, and I believe the situation behind it. I feel good about it being on our front page.
It's just incredible how people were ripping into this today. Like, A, I've had people say that we faked it, and that we did it just for page views, and that we did it, that we photoshopped all this together. Horse you know? I mean,
right.
That is so ridiculous. And these are people I know that won't even say this to my face. I didn't get one email from anybody today saying, hey, Phil, you know, that looks pretty off. Are you guys sure about that? Not one thing. So you know what? You don't have the balls to say something to us. F off. If this is wrong, if it's fake, then I will be the first one to say, you know what? We got duped. But to imply that we would fake something like this for page views, you know what? We're doing just fine without this post. Even if it is fake, you know, okay, like, what do we get here that's not real? I don't know. Do you think a $299 price point is going to be right for this phone that nobody's actually touched?
Yeah,
absolutely. It's right in line with what they normally price phones at.
Yeah. LTE and dual core. I'm still kind of trying wrap my head around that.
Checks all the boxes, doesn't it?
It really does. What about, all right, so this thing has the WebTop dock on there as well, and I guess the original Bionic was going to have WebTop as well, wasn't it? Or no, I don't remember. It was like year ago. I still don't care about WebTop.
No,
and if you've ever used it, you won't. It's horrible. They need to fix it before they're worrying about putting it on the Bionic. You hear me, Motorola? Fix it, please, because it could be great.
So that's that. That's the Bionic. I don't know what to tell you. If it's real, cool. I mean, if it's real, it doesn't really bring much more to the table, I think. So, you know, if it turns out to be fake, we got duped. Sorry. You know, everybody gets to yell at us, and I hope they feel better for it.
It's not like there's some, like, there's, like, four misspellings on it or anything like that. The forums don't hate you. Everybody's giving you a lot of praise. Yeah, people hilarious. Want this phone. It's popular. It's coming.
That, you know, that's what I really learned today. People are insane. Like, Jerry's been warning me. Jerry's like, Phil, you don't want to go to the Bionic forums. You don't want to go into the Bionic forums. And you know,
yes, you do. This thing. Don't and say
you know,
that.
You know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. This thing's going to come out in August. Everybody assumes in August, right? They're going to get it, and they're going to be like, meh. You know what's going to happen.
I think what's going to happen is it's going to come out, and it's going to 90% of it's going to be exactly what everybody wanted. The other 10% are going to be things that somebody's either unhappy with or it has a small bug from the manufacturer. And everybody's just going to go wild over all of that again.
Every phone has that.
Right. I mean, be prepared, guys. This is not the Holy Grail. It looks like a great phone and the first phone that makes me wish I could get Verizon service here.
If you like Motorola, this is so we were talking about the Droid 3 last week. It was last week. But, you know, we were talking about, you know, it's not getting a lot of advertising or promotion. You know, that's another droid, just a regular, you know, iteration of the original droid. This has LTE. It's different. It has a different look and shape and feel. And this is something new. They're going to put a lot of money into marketing this product, this phone.
And I just have a gut feeling, and this is not even a rumor. This is just Jerry's gut feeling. That OMAP 4 is going to be the new reference device for Ice Cream Sandwich. If so, when the Bionic gets Ice Cream Sandwich, it's going to be a monster of a phone.
And the day this thing comes out, that thread is going to get posted. Where's our ice cream?
We need to get threads ready for, I don't know, pick half a dozen phones, I guess.
Yeah, right.
when's my Captive 8 going to get Ice Cream Sandwich? Never! Mickey, I'm sorry I sweared.
That's okay.
I need a hug.
You just got one from me.
Oh, thanks.
Amen.
Skype hug.
Yeah.
You want to do a couple emails and voicemails to make me feel better?
Let's do it.
You guys don't sound very enthusiastic.
Let's just do it.
I'm waiting for one that talks about daddy cats.
Wow.
That didn't go well.
No voicemails tonight. That's easy. So let's do a couple emails. Sand Tiger writes, do phones get better battery life if the SIM card is pulled, or do they go into a searching mode like when you're in a cellular dead zone? He had a longer version of his email. Basically, he wants to pull a SIM card and use it like an iPod Touch or whatever, you know, like we talked about that last week with another question. That's a good question. I don't think so. I think if it doesn't see a SIM card, it just doesn't use that radio, right?
Well, I don't know if it's the same in the US, but in the UK at least, if you don't have a SIM in there, you can still make emergency calls.
Right.
That's true.
I'm not sure how it works with phones that are locked to a particular carrier, so they can't even operate on other carriers' frequencies. But if even if a phone's carrier locked over here, you can still make emergency calls on any network that is in the area. So in theory, if you're in an area that has really bad reception on one carrier, and then you go and take the SIM out, it can connect to any carrier and make emergency calls on there. So you might get better battery life because it's not going to have to, you know, pump as much juice into finding a tower from the network that you're locked to. But I don't know.
I would say this is just a theory. This is a pretty, I mean, this should be a pretty simple thing, right? If you've got a GSM phone and you're looking to use it, just put it in airplane mode and then turn on Wi-Fi, you know? And then you're good to go. You can leave the SIM in there. It's no big deal. You don't need to leave the cellular radio on, though. That will definitely pull more battery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, his question was like, if I pull the SIM, is it going to eat more battery looking for a signal because the SIM's not in there?
You would want to turn the cellular radio off.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there you go.
I'm wondering, I don't have one here in front of me to try. If you take the SIM card out of a GSM phone, turn it on, can you still make emergency calls?
Yes.
I think so. So it's going to make no difference whether the SIM's in or not.
Cool. Who wants to do the next one?
All right. This is Andrew. He says, I'm coming over to the dark side from WebOS, and I picked up a used Samsung Fascinate. Are there any applications that will integrate both SMS, MMS, text messaging, and instant messaging clients together like the Pre? Also, with the Fascinate having Bing, is there a way to permanently remove Bing and install Google Search to replace all the defaults and the phone is rooted? I'm going to pass it off to one of you guys who's using this stuff more than I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, Corey Streeter.
It's still going to be there, right? But, yeah, you can root it and get rid of it.
I could have told you that. That's the first question.
The most frustrating thing for me right now is I just haven't gotten around to rooting it again. I switched back from the Thunderbolt over to this. I did the update. And every time I push the dang search button, Bing comes up. It wants me to accept. And even worse, I mean, this is even worse, right? They won't let me uninstall it, but there's an update available for it. So I go and I check for new apps every few days. And there's an update to Bing, and I can't turn that notification off. And so I have to look at it every time I go and check for a new app.
Mickey, I think Corey's going to cuss there.
just put I've been on too wrong, busy. Right? Yeah.
I'm too busy.
Well, yeah. What about the first part of the question? Is there an app out there that will combine your text messages and your emails and your IMs and all that stuff into one unified?
I haven't seen one, no.
Does TouchWiz have anything like that built into it? Because I can't think of an app.
Galaxy
definitely
S2
not.
That kind of thing out of the box.
What does?
The Galaxy S2, but that doesn't really help him.
Yeah, no. The Fascinate doesn't have that for sure. HTC, well, okay, I won't go off into that rant, but I don't know of an app that does that.
Sounds like a low-level thing, doesn't it? I mean, like something that you'd have to have already installed in the OS to pull all of that junk together.
I don't know. All that stuff's available because we have stuff like Handsent that can, you know, that database is open. There's APIs that can read it.
Mm.
So maybe just somebody hasn't ever built one yet.
I could see it coming though. Like Moto is, they unify all the messaging. HTC does it, right? So it's just a matter of integrating the SMS into it. Actually, you can, right? With HTC Sense, doesn't it integrate everything into one unified box?
No, not really.
No?
No.
I thought it did.
Basically, what he's looking for is like he says it, you know, on the pre, or it's like on the, on the BlackBerry and the messages application that you have on there pulls everything, every single thing that happens on it isn't just in one big long stream if you want. That's what he's looking for.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, I absolutely hate it, but I can see why people like it. You know, it's has everything in one spot. If you get used to that, one of you developers out there, you ought to try to build something like that. Maybe it'll get you rich.
That's that. Who wants the last one?
I will take it if I can find it.
There goes.
Hello.
The again.
We have Vishal. Now that Android Market is getting an update, I wanted to ask if I would get the over-the-air update since I'm using Cyanogen mod, or is manually updating the only way to do that? Also, when is a manufacturer releases a new phone? They sell it off contract for, correct me if I'm wrong, $500 or more, but on contract it comes down to $200. Then where do manufacturers make up that lost money?
Well, the second part, the second part, you know where they make up that money. That's how you get City ID and City ID and
yes.
City ID.
Well, hold on a second here.
Yes.
The manufacturers, where do the manufacturers make up money?
No. I'm sure the manufacturer sells it to Verizon, whatever they sell it to Verizon for. Right, Verizon's
right.
The one that discounts it, not the manufacturer.
Right,
and it's probably a typical retail transaction, right? Keystone markup. You sell a phone; it probably costs them between $200 and $250 to make it. They sell it to the carrier for double that, and then the carrier would either see this is where it gets kind of weird because you've got that middleman carrier in there. So they either need to make a little bit of money off of your plan, which is usually how that works, but in order to get you into that plan, they're going to give you the low cost on the phone. That's the whole subsidy deal.
Remember, a lot of that money, a lot of that, you know, $500 cost for the phone or whatever, especially if you pay for that. I mean, that's paying for a lot of stuff, right? It's going to go for, you know, merchandise, for advertising, for whatever. But, you know, I mean, the vast majority of people aren't paying outright for a phone, right?
Right.
I have a hard time believing they're making that much money off the bloatware. People hate it. And there's so many alternatives, especially with Android, there's so many alternatives in the market. I mean, who's going to use City ID for $3 a month when you can download three or four different other applications that aren't monthly?
City ID is probably a bad example, I think.
Yeah, Corey, you're falling into the same trap that I was in up until about a month ago when my soon-to-be son-in-law's family got Android phones. You're thinking that the majority of people think like us. We are a very small minority. Most people go to Verizon or AT&T, buy an Android phone, and they say, oh, City ID, what's that? Well, you mean it'll tell me who's calling and it'll give me caller ID information for only $3 a month? Cool. And they use it. So people are doing it, just not our kind of people.
And then you have the larger deals like VZ Navigator and Sprint Navigation, and this is just called Telenav on AT&T, I forget, or AT&T Navigation, whatever it is. I mean,
yeah,
those are the larger deals that involve a lot more money, I think, than makes up for that. So, I mean,
you know what? I just realized what his question is. I'm sorry, finish and all.
Well, and that's why I've said, like, I understand the Bing thing. I understand why Verizon did it. I still think it was a bad deal, but I understand the money behind it and the economics behind it. That's that. Do you actually want to talk
about the first part of his question? Because I'm pretty sure you still get OTA to the market, regardless of what you're running.
You should unless, yeah. unless yeah, yeah. your application framework is the wrong version. Like, you know, if you're still running Cyanogen Mod 6, you're probably not going to get a market update. But if you put on 7 and the new GApps, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't.
Gotcha.
I did have that problem once too. I think it was the Droid X when I rooted it and I put a leaked version of was it Froyo back then when I put that on there, it wasn't identifying itself properly. It was to the market. It looked like a device that, you know, they didn't recognize it and they thought it was some rogue device or something. So they didn't. There were certain apps that I couldn't download that I'd paid for. So you do have to watch for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was the same with the leaked gingerbread thing for the HTC mm-hmm. Desire. Yeah. If you downloaded that, you get the really, really old market with a gray banner at the top.
I remember spending like 6 hours of my night trying to figure out how to get around that. It was pretty frustrating. And then I found an app in the market that was like, oh, do this and it'll change your... It'll make you look like a hero. So I installed that and boom, I had all my apps back. So there's always a solution, right?
There are always like 5 solutions. All right, well, I think that's going to do it. Very interesting.
Wait.
What?
Mickey had another answer for Vishal.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All I was going to say about the question is really manufacturer, and I think he means by when he's a manufacturer, he means a carrier. When they release a new phone and sell it off contract for $500 and the contract comes down to $200, where do they make the money? And if that is indeed the carrier, it comes down to it being sold with a contract and that amount that you pay to that carrier every month. That's is what goes to that, what's called the subsidy. That subsidy that brings it from $500 to $200 is what gets made up over the course of your 2 years. If you are indeed talking about a manufacturer, though, they're not selling it for $500. They're selling it for less. And I guess that's where I went before. But it doesn't cost them that much to make. So they're still making a profit on the phone. And when it comes down to $200 when they sell it, they're not having to take that cut. It's the carrier, because the carrier is then taking in the monthly revenue. That's all I was going to say.
Gotcha. Think we're done. Thank you all for hanging in there through an entertaining and informative and slightly ranty podcast. We do okay, you think?
I think we did good.
I got upset.
It's so fun, I want to do it every night.
All right, Mickey, wrap us up.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to podcast@androidcentral.com or leave a voicemail at 888-468-6158. Extension 222 is how you do that. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow @AndroidCentral. That's really the only one you need, but the rest of us can be found there too. Phil is @PhilNickinson. I am @TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is @GBHill. Corey is @CStreeter. And you can follow all of the writers over @AndroidCentral. The podcast and the site brought to you by the Android Central Store, found at store.androidcentral.com. You can also place your order by calling 888-468-6158.
Do you mind if I make just one small correction to what Mickey just said?
Sure.
I am no longer C Streeter on Twitter. Plus. I am Google Plus all the way, baby.
Do we need to change that, you think, for everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right, we'll do that next week. If we do a podcast next week, we'll see. Going out of town Monday. Did I tell you guys this? So I'm going up to the GM Proving Grounds on Monday. They want to tell us what all they're doing for mobility stuff.
South Dakota? Where are you going?
No, Milford, Michigan. Where
Michigan, that's right.
It's hotter than Florida right now, which is going to be bizarre. So we're going to get to see some new cars and take some rides and see a wind tunnel and stuff. And they promised me there will be mobility-related things as well. So look for that all next week. Should be exciting. So if I'm not around in the first part of the week, you know why. So we'll see if we do a podcast. I'll let you know. If we don't, everybody take a week off on me.
As long as Phil gets to drive. You hear me, GM? I want video of Phil driving something, preferably in a Corvette.
That'd be kind of sweet. And if you guys haven't yet, be sure to swing by mobilenations.com where you can pick up all our other podcasts, the Crackberry Podcast, the Palmcast, the WP Central Podcast, iPhone Live, iPad Live, Iterate, Super Functional, Zen and Tech, and the Mobile Nations Podcast, which we record every other Friday. We're doing one tomorrow morning for all you guys listening live tonight. You can join us in the morning at, I believe, 10 Eastern. So keep an eye on that and follow Mobile Nations on Twitter as well. And eventually on Google Plus, I suppose. So lots of good stuff there. Mickey, Corey, Jerry, Alex, thank you guys. Joe from SwiftKey, thank you for joining us, even though you can't hear me right now. Still a good guy. Chat room, thank you guys.
Thanks everybody.
See ya.
Or see you when we see you. We'll see you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
J.K. Shin apparently told Yonhap News that we can expect... Hey, my phone's ringing. That we can expect the Galaxy S2... My phone is still ringing. I'm just going to wait. It's over there.
Answer it.
I can't.
Yeah, you should get it. Do a phone call live.
Hello.
You have to go.
What do you want?
Phone on the shelf. Come to Phil all by yourself. Try it. Might work.
Yeah, no.